Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And you can put your finger on verse 18. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. This is the sixth year that I've preached the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And I've learned something about this Sunday. It is the sleepiest Sunday of the year. Something about that cocktail of three helpings of turkey and 14 side dishes and long drives and family visits and Black Friday bargain shopping at 4:30 in the morning makes people sleepy on Sunday mornings. And the first year that I found this out was very shocking to me. I came very excited. I didn't realize it was my first year, second year in the United States. I don't know that I'd even, I think I probably worked on Thanksgiving. And I came in and just bursting at the seams. And I remember one of the godliest ladies in our church, I think I was just putting her to sleep. I thought, what is happening here? And it was Thanksgiving, the fourth Sunday in November. And so for the next few years, I was in denial. And I basically said, well, this is the way people are, but I'm going to give them a full meal deal. Hopefully the Spirit will work. Anyway, we're 6 years in, and I've found that almost nothing I do, humanly speaking, barring standing on this pulpit and doing jumping jacks, really makes people alert on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So what I'm going to do this morning is try to be brief. I might also have you stand up at some point in time during the message. I'm also going to try to be simple. We're going to look this morning at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says these simple words. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You do not need to be a Greek or a Hebrew scholar to understand that verse. It basically says it's God's will in Christ Jesus for you to give thanks no matter what. No matter what's happening. Not just on one day of the year or like the first Thanksgiving. For 3 days of the year, they celebrated Thanksgiving for 3 days, back there in the 1620s. But whether no matter what, it is God's will in Christ Jesus for us to be thankful in all circumstances. Let me just say one thing before I jump in, though. Don't mistake the fact that I plan on being brief or hope to be brief. I won't make it a promise. And simple. Don't make that mistake of thinking that what I'm going to say is not important and central and radical and life-changing. We cannot afford to go a week without the Word of God. Let me give you three things from this text. There's a clear and a central command to give thanks. There are changing circumstances in which we're to give thanks. And there is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to start by showing you this clear and central command. What it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, is that we are to give thanks. And you might make the mistake, we're at the back of the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's not exactly the most popular book in the New Testament. It's not like Romans or Matthew. And here we are just at the back of it. Things are winding down. And you might make the mistake that Paul is sort of throwing out spiritual platitudes, that he's sort of like doing a little Hallmark spirituality where he's just sort of throwing out some, you know, rejoice always and pray without ceasings and give thanks in all circumstances. But you would be mistaken. Because the command to give thanks is absolutely central to the Christian life. If you're looking at into Christianity, exploring Christianity, here is one of the throbbing heartbeats of the Christian life. It is a life of thanksgiving. And what Paul is calling these Thessalonians to is to give thanks. to be full of gratitude. You see, the whole Christian life is founded on a gift. That God gave us life, that God created us, that God made us, and then after He'd made us, we fell and rebelled against Him. We went our own way. We treated the world like we deserved all of it. And then even in the midst of us acting like spoiled brats, God gave His Son to die for sinners. And so what the Christian life does, or what the Christian message does, is it ignites a life of thanksgiving. Because it's all a response to a God who's always giving. Who's always giving to His people. And so giving thanks is not just some nice platitude at the end of 1 Thessalonians. It's not just something spiritual. It's at the spiritual core of what it means to be a Christian. Old Lutheran Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, actually divided up the Christian message this way. What do I need to know to be saved, it said? Well, you need to know how great your sin and miseries are. You need to know that Christ can deliver you from your sin and misery. And then you need to know how to render thankfulness for that gift. This was the essence of the Christian life. It's nothing peripheral. And you go through the Bible and what you find is that thankfulness really is the soundtrack of the Bible. It's supposed to be the soundtrack of our souls. It's supposed to be in there all the time. We're to be giving thanks, full of gratitude, always responding to this one who's always giving to us. And it's to be the soundtrack of our souls. And you go through the Bible and you find it's just full of thanksgiving. Psalm 106, 107, 108, 109, you get variations on give thanks to the Lord. For His steadfast love endures forever. Remember, that's that love that presses on with believers even when they're bad. That stays with them like a father is with a child and raises them up to where He wants them to be. That steadfast love is forever. So give thanks. Throughout the Psalms, I think I mentioned some of them. I hope I got the numbers right. But you go look at Psalm 106 and 107. And in that area, just give thanks over and over again. In fact, thankfulness was so important in the Old Testament that when David was divvying up what priests were going to do what, he allocated one whole unit or division or group of priests so that they could give thanks. What's your job? I'm on the Thanksgiving squad. What do? We give thanks all day. We go to the temple, we give thanks. We punch in, giving thanks. We punch out, giving thanks. Neph crew comes on, they give thanks. God's worship was to be filled with thanksgiving. It wasn't peripheral at all. Then you get to the New Testament, you just find it's there too. Again, Jesus eats a meal, gives thanks. Before He turns a bread from just a few loaves into a meal for 5,000, He gives thanks. You come to Paul in the book of Ephesians, and what you find him is he's praying that the people in Ephesus would be giving thanks always. Listen to this. He wants them to be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that central? Always and for everything. Everyone stand up. This is the first. Is that central? No, this is the reaction I got. And I had done a good job of scripturally convincing you that it was central. I had shown that from the Bible. I'm sure of it. You can be seated. This is a clear and central thing in the Scriptures. We're to give thanks in all circumstances. This is what Paul is commanding us to do, is to give thanks. So basically, let me just make this first application. Is that the soundtrack of your soul? Could be said of you, that person is full of thanksgiving. Now, this is really key because I think we are part of a church that pays attention to the details of God's Word. Does God's Word say to have elders? We're going to have elders. Does God's Word say to have deacons? We're going to have deacons. How does God's Word to say to have baptism and Lord's Supper? We're going to think night and day about it. But if my soul is devoid of thanksgiving for months, no big deal. So you can give yourself to these commandments of God that are vital. I'm not trying to say one negative thing about obeying any commandment of God. And be in continual disobedience to what He wants to be the soundtrack of the soul. He wants elders appointed by people whose souls are singing with thanksgiving. He wants deacons appointed by people whose souls are singing with thanksgiving. He wants us to do baptism in the Lord's Supper with souls singing of thanksgiving. And you can get all the details right and miss this heart in response to God. You can miss what's central. I think that understanding that thanksgiving is clear and central, that we're to give thanks, as this text says, I think understanding that is really key to understanding our culture as well. I think if you want to understand this culture in this point in history, you don't just need sociological studies and anthropological studies. What you need to understand is thankfulness. Why do I say that? Well, what's going on in this culture? There's a moral downgrade happening in Western culture. There's a moral slide. North American and really Western culture is falling into a cesspool of immorality. In 1952, there was no such thing as Playboy magazine. Now pornography is over a $10 billion industry. More, I've read, than all major league sports combined. You see stadiums filled with people for major league sports. You see people with major league sports hats, major league sports shirts. There's more people involved in porn, or at least more money going into it. It used to be that if a guy wanted to feed his lust, he had to drive into a seedy part of town to some shady little gentleman's club. Now he can just take the whole family to Hooters. What's going on? TV? Hollywood? No. The reason we see a rise in pornography and in Hooters is because we live in a culture that does not thank God. It is ingratitude that is at the root of the lust and the immorality of our culture. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 speaks of the unbeliever as ungrateful. This is critical. This is right at the core of what it is to not believe in God the giver, is to be ungrateful. And then let me spell it even more by turning your attention to Romans chapter 1, which is one of the most insightful passages on the culture we live in the entire Bible. And in Romans chapter 1, it tells us what the root spiritual problem of mankind is. And especially of those who don't know the Scriptures and don't know the Ten Commandments, if you will. One person has said. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. This is right at the core of what God sees as the wickedest rebellion in the planet. He doesn't start with, can you believe all the immodesty out there? He goes right for the root, and at the root, there's a heart that will not worship God as God and will not say thank you. How many meals have you eaten in your life? Even if you were as poor could be, you've probably eaten at least a meal a day for what, 10, 20, 30 years. How many breaths have you breathed? How many millions of breaths have you breathed? How many billions of heartbeats with this muscle that if it fails, you fail, but it just keeps on beating? How many of those have you had? How many of those have you made for yourself? Each of them, individually, each valve that opens and closes, and each artery that does not clog, and each time the oxygenated blood gets out to your body to make you live, is a gift. And it is the height of rebellion not to say, thank you. Thank you. One heartbeat, Lord, and my life is gone. It's a gift from you. Every minute is a gift. And yet what the Bible tells us here is that they knew God. People say, oh, cultures don't know God. You bet they knew God. He's obvious in creation. They knew God. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Instead, they started worshiping idols. And verse 24, it tells us what God did. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. You don't thank God, He'll hand you over to the lusts of your heart. And what's happening in North America is not just that Hollywood's influencing the nation or TV's influencing the nation. What's happening is that God, in His sovereignty and in His wrath, is handing a culture over to His wrath, which is to hand them over to lusts and the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Did you hear what happened at Gate D of the New York Jets games? Men yelling from Gate D at the Jets games to women to expose themselves. Yelling until women will lift their shirts and throwing plastic beer bottles at them until they'll do it. And then women doing it. Giving them over to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why is Hooters a family restaurant if not for the wrath of God on this culture? It is the anger and the terror of God and the wrath of God. And if you, my friend, are enmeshed in lust and the dishonoring of your body, the root problem is not just that your dad had a stash down in the basement when you were a boy. The root problem is that you have a heart of ingratitude that God hands over to that kind of wickedness. Thankfulness is central. And when God saves a people, He saves them by making them a thankful people, by making them aware that God so loved the world that He gave this gift of His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Right in the middle of a culture that's absolutely seething in the wickedness of their failure and their refusal to give gratitude to God, God gives a gift. He gives a gift. And that gift is available this morning. It's available this morning to people who are in bondage to lust and to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. It's available to prostitutes. It's available to people who can't get off internet porn. That gift is to all who will take the gift of Christ Jesus, who died for sinners. That's the heart of what's going wrong in this culture. If the people do not give thanks. And brothers and sisters, shouldn't we consider that a central part of our witness to this generation? I mean, how do you witness to this generation? You go to Gate D at the Jets game and yell, pervert! And you can't go to Hooters and try to shine a light for Jesus. So what do? Be marked by thankfulness in the midst of an ungrateful and perverted generation. Be marked by it. Because you know where the guys at Gate D at the Jets game are on Monday morning? And you know where the folks at Hooters on Friday night are on Monday morning? They're working beside you. Grumbling and full of ungratefulness. And we should do what the psalmist said in Psalm 108. He said, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Can you imagine what a simple witness it would be if at every lunch hour, while people are grumbling about the day at work, every Christian just bowed their head and said, just a moment, I need to give thanks. And while everyone was nagging and whining and gossiping about the boss, if every Christian said, well, there's no perfect job out there, but I'm thankful to God for this job who's given to me. What kind of questions might we get to answer? What kind of opportunities to testify to Christ might we receive? If we were just to give thanks, just to give thanks and make that a central part of our lives. Second point, You can stand for a moment here. You may have thought that one was too early, but I know what's coming in 3 minutes. I've been doing this for 6 years now. You may be seated. First thing was this clear and central command. Second thing is the changing circumstances. We're called to obey this command in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're called to obey this command in changing circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. There's a lot of different circumstances in the Christian life. Sometimes you're rich, sometimes you're poor. Some Christians have gotten a godly heritage. They had a godly father or a godly mother. Some Christians have just learned useless ways of life from their forefathers. Some Christians have health. Some Christians have sickness. But this command touches all of us because we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Now let me ask you a question. Which is harder? To give thanks in hard times or good times? I think the general answer is good times, and I think that's wrong. I don't think in the Bible we're told that good times just automatically make thankful people. In fact, the book of James seems to indicate that all kinds of different situations require that we be directed to God. In James chapter 5, he says in verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." So you can be suffering and neglect to pray. You can be cheerful. Cheerful, that you're even in a good mood. And not sing praise. One circumstance or another does not guarantee thankfulness. Book of Proverbs, the writer of the Proverbs writes that he wants to be guarded from being too rich or he'll forget God. Or from being too poor or he'll steal. Both riches and poverty have spiritual dangers. And there can be a tendency among the people of God for the poor to look at the rich and think, well, they've got it made, it's easy for them. And for the rich to look at the poor and say, well, God chose them to be rich in faith, so they got no problems. But the simple fact is, all of us need spiritual power in order to say thanksgiving. In order to be truly thankful, it's not just about getting the right circumstances. That would really mess up the verse, wouldn't it? Giving thanks in all circumstances is the work of God's Holy Spirit. Which means if you're not thankful, you need to go to God and remember who God is and not figure out just exactly what He's doing in your circumstances. You may not figure it out. You may not figure out exactly what He's doing in your circumstances. The spring of thanksgiving is the fact that God works all things together for good. For those who love God and are called according to His purposes. If you don't love God, haven't been called according to His purposes, you have no assurance that your life's all just going to work out. But for those who love God and are called according to His purposes, everything's a gift. In fact, let me tell you a story that comforts me. There's a professor by the name of Barry Jocelyn who lost his mother prematurely. She was just in her 50s. And he said that after he lost his mother that he really struggled. Here he is, he's a professor of theology, and he said he was struggling with how to deal with the loss of his mother. And what helped him was another preacher who pointed out that if God is sovereign, anything else would be worse. Anything else but what God brings into our lives would be worse. If God is sovereign, if God is all-loving, if God is all-good, if God is all-wise, if God is in control of everything, then anything other than what He puts in my lap would be worse for me. Can you give thanks in all circumstances? All circumstances? I'm hoping that this afternoon people will carve out times in prayer closets or gather their families and areas where we have just hardened ourselves and just been bitter towards God for what He's doing in our life, or we have just been coping rather than praising and thanking, there will be an unleashing of thanksgiving. My friend, I don't know how long you've been sick. I don't know how long you've been struggling. I don't know how long you've been denied, but I know what it is to suffer a little bit, and I know that God is working it for our good. It's guaranteed. It's founded on His character and not on my circumstances. So give thanks to Him. I want to sing that Rich Mullins song. Give your praise to the Lord. I can never tell you just how good that it's going to feel if you give your praise to the Lord. We should give thanks to God. We should be encouraging each other to give thanks to God. But can I caution here for a second? I want this church to go into each other's lives and say what I'm saying. I want you to move into each other's lives, getting to know each other at the skating party, getting to know each other at the get-to-know-you party, getting to know each other after the service, getting to know one another, and then moving into each other's lives and saying, give thanks no matter what. But here's the caution. Paul lived the kind of life where saying this wasn't light. There are people who will tell you to give thanks no matter what, and then you're struggling with temptation, you deck them in the face, right? Because that it's a sin, you don't want to do it, but that is the temptation, right? Because you are fundamentally out of touch with reality. Because they're saying, give thanks, but they don't have any clue about what's really happening in your life. And we have to remember that the same Paul who said, give thanks in all circumstances, is the same Paul who said in chapter 2 of this very book, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 7, but we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. How did Paul move among the people that he was pastoring? Like a real man, not like a nursing mother. It's gentle. It's caring. It's doting. Sensitive. And not only did he do it, but notice it says, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother. That means Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, which we heard, they wrote the letter at the start of this book. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Paul and the pastors he was training or the pastors he worked with were the kind of pastors who knew what it was to act like a mom. And then he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted you. Come on. Give thanks. Son. For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted you and encouraged you and charged you. You've got to give thanks, boy. To walk in a manner worthy of God. Now let me tell you something. I'm not saying you've got to have a relationship with someone for 20 years before you're allowed to say anything to them. I'm just saying if you move among people like a careful mother and like an exhorting father, it will have a lot more weight when you tell them in their pain, give thanks no matter what. Give thanks no matter what. And if you've got your head in the clouds and you're oblivious to sharing in the lives of others, Paul says, We shared not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. If you have no sharing of yourself in your life, and then you move into people's life and say, you know, you just need to rise up to the high commands of Scripture, it'll be really confusing as to why nobody follows you. And why, even though you're so faithful to Scripture, you're just so darn unencouraging. Yes, we want to be a people who speaks the hard truths of the Bible to one another. We absolutely want to be that kind of people. We absolutely don't want to hold back from saying whatever needs to be said to whoever. And we want to do that in the context of being people who are always tenderly caring for one another and loving one another like a father loved his children. When that kind of person says to someone in infertility or someone in sickness or someone who's dying, when that kind of person says, you know, I love you, give thanks in all circumstances. There is a weight. And there's even, I think, for most of us, a willingness to receive that. It's amazing. If someone loves you, it's amazing what you can hear from me. I've got a really good friend, and when I shared with him a theological idea that I thought of, he just laughed at me in my face. He just thought that was stupid. And I know he loves me, so I can handle him laughing in my face. But you better make sure the other person knows you love them before you laugh in their face. First point, giving thanks is a clear and central command. Second point, it's to be done in changing circumstances. Do we need to stand up, or how are we doing? Doing good? Okay. Do you speak for everyone, brother? No? Okay. Good. Third point is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, give thanks in all circumstances. He gives a reason now. He gives a reason. He just doesn't throw it out there, do it. He gives a reason. For this is the will of God. Well, we'll stop there for a second. It's amazing. You can be in the will of God without changing any of your circumstances right now. Isn't that amazing? So often we think about the will of God. We're thinking about, how do I need to orchestrate my circumstances? Which school do I need to go to? Which city do I need to live in? Which girl do I need to marry? What should my circumstances be? That's how I discern the will of God. That's part of the will of God. Got to give some thought to that. But the main parts of the will of God are revealed clearly in the Scripture. And you can be in the will of God. If you've repented of sins, you can be in the will of God right now without changing a single circumstance. So, today you may get home and say, okay, how do I apply that? What needs to change in my life for me to be in the will of God? And the answer may be nothing. Except a thankful heart. It may not be that you need to have a less busy schedule or that your life needs to be less crazy. It may be that God's got you in a crazy season. That may be all there is to it. What changes now is the way I'm responding to it. This trial's a gift. This difficulty is a gift. This is not just God trying to beat me down and destroy me. This is a gift. Thank you, God. This is your will for me to thank you right here. Thank you. Thank you. This is hard. Thank you. This makes me feel insecure. Thank you. This makes me feel proud. Thank you. This makes me feel weak. Thank you. Let me pray to you, O God. Thank you for your help. My father-in-law is the most incredible example of this in the world. He's told me I can tell this very publicly, so I'll tell it to you. He fell in the ministry after years in the ministry to a severe pornography addiction. To this day, he sits in the pulpit, sits in the pew he used to preach to. And if you talk to him right now, he'd say, thank God. Thank God for everything that exposes my weakness. Thank God for the difficulties in my life. Thank God he's now a holy man. Not because his life got easier. But because the attitude towards the circumstances changed. And they were seen. If God's all wise, all holy, all good, then me being exposed is good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's the will of God for you. And then Paul does something here. He doesn't stop. He could just say, do this, it's God's will. And that should be enough for a Christian, right? God's the Lord. Do it, it's the will of God. That's okay. There's probably other parts of the Bible where it just stops there. But he doesn't here. It's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Why does he say that? Remember, he's not just writing Hallmark spirituality cards. He's not just kind of throwing out flowery spiritual words to kind of evoke an emotion when you open the Hallmark card. It's not what he's doing. He wants people to think of what he's saying. Here's the will of God. Which will? The will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, it reminds us of this, that the Christian is not just a follower of Jesus. The Christian is not just a believer in Jesus. The Christian is not just someone who's been forgiven by Jesus. The Christian is someone who has been united to Jesus and is in Christ. The Christian is in a relationship of mystical union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The union is spiritual, but it's compared in the Bible to a tree and its branch. Are a tree and its branch one or two? One. It's compared in the Bible to a building made out of living stones, where each stone is a living part mortared together into the whole building. As Dr. Stephen Beck used to say, we, our relationship to Christ is like we're Siamese twins. We share the same life. We are united to Him. Which means that it's the will of God for you to be thankful. And where is this all happening? In union to Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. This means that Jesus Christ, hear me here, this means that Jesus Christ is the ultimate circumstance in your life. The changing circumstances, rich, poor, healthy, sick, married, single, having kids, adopting kids, not adopting kids, having a child die, it's all changing. There's one circumstance in the Christian's life that never changes. Weak faith, strong faith, good day, bad day, you're always in Christ. The Christian is always in union with Christ. If the Christian has a bad day, Jesus doesn't grab the branch and hold it out from the tree. It's always united to Him. The Christian lives in union with Christ, which means that all the resources that you need to obey this commandment are found in your union with Christ. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm united with Him. His life gives me the strength to say, thank you, God, for this circumstance. It means when I feel guilty, and guilt would be tempting to crush me, I remember that He made Him, that God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In Him, in union to Him, I now have the righteousness of God. What did we sing a few minutes ago? And now He sees me through His perfection as if I'd never done any wrong. Give thanks to God. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It means that when all the circumstances of your life are changing, you remember Romans chapter 8, which says in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, in Christ Jesus, you have love. Circumstances change. One minute feels like your wife loves you. Next minute it feels like she doesn't. Next minute it feels like maybe you know, you're dating someone. Feels like they love you. Maybe they don't. Then you think, oh, the cancer is going to go away. Oh, then it's not going to go away. Or, oh, we're going to get pregnant. Then you're not going to get pregnant. That is a bad roller coaster to live on. The stable thing is that you've been loved in Christ Jesus. The stable thing, The circumstance that does not change, is that you're in Christ Jesus and nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So that's all I want to say. I want us to be a people who give thanks all the time. And who are, listen to me, just as marked by our passion to obey God and all the details of how the church is to grow and how the church is to work, as we are marked by our passion to rejoice and to thank God and to praise Him. And we're not just marked that way in good times or bad times, but all the time. Because the fundamental thing that's true about the people of this church is that they are in Christ Jesus. And that never changes. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we thank You. Lord, we have held back for too many years to thank You. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I know I had to repent yesterday and just repent for coping instead of thanking. And I pray, Lord God, that You would just unleash in my brothers and sisters this afternoon and this week just thanks. I pray that hearts that have been filled with tears may still have tears, but they would be tears with thankfulness, tears with gratitude, that your wisdom and your might and your power and your sovereignty would weigh in on our thoughts, and that we would be able to thank you. Lord, I pray for those who have been handed over to lust. Pray for our culture that's been handed over to lust, that you would just let the gift of Christ be made known as we talk about it in our workplaces, as we pray to Him before meals. I pray, Lord God, that we would be so thankful that we would draw people to our Father who's in heaven. And we just praise you for Christ. Thank you that His Word does not go forth void, but it accomplishes what it's out to do. So we pray it would make us thankful. Amen. Amen.